God. Amen. So we're continuing our series on a sacrifice living holy and acceptable. A sacrifice living holy and acceptable. Let's open up our Bibles to our foundation text again, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 and ending with verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, continuing our series on a sacrifice living, comma, holy and acceptable. Look at verse 1, Romans 12. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, in view of the mercies of God laid out in chapters 1 through 11, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual, logical, rational service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, to this age, thoughts, ideas, and ideologies, and fashion, and so forth, that's floating in throughout the world at a given time. But instead, contrast and conjunction, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve and test what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. Here we're talking about focusing on verse 1, that in view of all of the mercies that he's given us, he's asking us, or commanding us rather, to present our bodies. And we're talking about the body right now, focusing on that. The body, I want to keep emphasizing, is that the body, he's talking about our literal physical bodies. Now, we've talked about the what it entails, which is also our heart and our soul and our mind. We talked about that. But I don't want that I've mentioned about the heart. I don't want that to lose the fact that the actual physical body is what he's commanding us to present. Mm-hmm. So I still want to make sure we focus on that. I mean, it's crucial that we understand that. That there's a reason that he's talking about presenting our bodies. And we talked about the first step in that, which I think is a good prep to presenting the body. And that is that we present our heart and our soul. Because we must understand that if we're not loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, then the presenting of the body is going to be a difficult task, more of a difficult task. So that's why I included that first as almost a preface or a prep, if you will, to presenting this physical body. So I guess I'm saying, I'd like to believe under the auspices and guidance of the Holy Spirit, that he's letting us know that the presenting of the body begins inward. Does that make sense? It begins inward. Just like anything else. Remember, murder is outward. Adultery is outward. Sin is outward. And any thing that is just outward and not coming from the inside, it's not real. Meaning that Jesus said, these people honor me with their, but their, see, is far from me. So the honoring of the lips is nothing. And I don't think you can truly present your bodies without first giving him your heart. So that's why I went there. But however, don't let that skew the command to present this physical, literal body. Okay? So having said that, we can say, I've been teaching that the first step in presenting our body is to present our heart and soul. I'll keep that, that's the first step. And then the second step is to actually present the literal physical body, literal body. Present your body. I want to ask a question and then answer it, and that's how our study is going to go. So, question is, why present the body? We've answered part of it, but I want to, You know me, I like repetition. I like how somebody, a few have come up and say, I'm glad for repetition, you know, because it helped me to get it. I need to hear it and hear it and hear it. So I thank you, because that's the way the Lord has designed this ministry. And because of sin, that's the way we need it. We just don't get it on the first 100 times. And then you 101 through 200. Then we'll start to get it, you know. I'm thankful that's who he has here. So why are we to present our bodies? First of all, so this is kind of new here as we're evolving this series. Why are we to present our bodies? Well, first of all, our bodies, our physical bodies, were included, listen to this, in the salvation process. Let that just hang for a moment. And we'll explain that. Our physical bodies were also included, are also included in the salvation process. It's just that it's going to be at the end, but it's in there. So we have our spirit and our souls. That's what's done immediately. But it's not just our spirit. It's not just our soul, our inwards, our hearts, and so forth. It is also including our body. Does that make sense? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 10. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word right now. And for the Holy Ghost, help me to teach it. In Jesus' name. The word is power. Every time we read it and explain it, power is going forward. We may not feel it, see it, but it's happening. Remember the song that one of our songs that we sing here, Word of Life, is when even Waymaker, even when we can't see it, he's working, when we not don't feel it, he's working, whatever, he's still working. And he never stops. He never stops. Romans 8:10, it's exciting to read the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. If Christ is in you, and if you're talking to a believer, you can say since he's in you, because he is in you, if you're born again. Though the body is dead, and we're talking about as of right now, in the state that we're in right now. Because remember, what's been redeemed? Your soul, your spirit has been made alive. So the body is still dead because of sin. Yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, resides, has taken a permanent residence in you, and he has, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your, look at this, mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells, says it again, who dwells in you. See, that dead body, notice it says mortal body. What is it taking the time to really point out? This physical, mortal means death-doomed body. It takes the time to mention that. Yet your body is part of the regeneration, redemption process. So the body is important. Now, the backdrop behind all of this is there was a teaching that was out at the time. This heretical teaching was that what you did in the body didn't matter. Just the spirit and soul was good. But whatever you did with the body didn't matter. God doesn't regard that. It's no big deal. So notice that's the backdrop of what was being taught during that time. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, he goes at that. No, your body does matter. You ought to not only recognize it's going to be alive, but you ought to take control of that body and present it as a sacrifice, living, holy, and acceptable and pleasing to God. It does matter. Your body does matter. What you do with it, how you conduct it, does matter. So he's going to give life to our mortal body. Skip down to verse 23. The body counts. And here, and that's not our flavor, but I still want us to understand that your body does matter too. Verse 23 of the same chapter. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, comma, what is that? The redemption of our what? Body. Our bodies eventually are going to be redeemed. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Why present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable? Because it is a part of the redemption salvific process. It is one day going to be redeemed. We're waiting. We're groaning. We are groaning. Aches and pains and blood presses and mini strokes and maxi strokes and afro hairdos. I mean, we just ready to get out of this thing. Glory be to God, but we have something to look forward to. As a sinner, he just suffered. He got all these diseases and he's suffering, and there's no all things being worked together for good for the sinner. But it is for the children of God. Thank God for that. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Again, we're saying, why are we to present our body, literal, physical, mortal bodies? Because it is a part of the redemption process. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Stop right there. We really, Father God, help us to get a hold of that great statement. We are citizens of heaven. We've mentioned it many a time, but you're reading it. We've gone there plenty of times too, but look at it. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God the Father through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, letting us know that we are not citizens of the United States. Now, naturally we are, but ultimately, remember, we know we're working on knowing no one after the flesh. So spiritually speaking, we are first and foremost citizens of heaven. Lord, help us get a hold of what that means. The government under which we exist spiritually is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's who we answer to. And that's why in the book of Acts, when the apostles were commanded to do something that God had told, when the government, the natural earthly government, commanded the apostles to stop doing something that God had commanded them to do. That's where the permission is given to even Christians today. Then you are to disobey government, the natural earthly government. It's good to know that, especially in times like this, because that day is really already here. It's coming. That day is here. And it's going to just increase more. It's going to be a challenge. We need to pray ahead of time, if you aren't already, for our real, legitimate, genuine Christian brothers and sisters in education and in the medical profession. Because there's going to come a day fairly soon where you'll be commanded to do these gender reassignment surgeries, or to perform abortions, or to teach these ungodly concepts throughout school. You got to pray for our teachers. I wonder how long will they be allowed to work, and how long the Lord's going to have them there. We are citizens of heaven. God is our president. He's our governor. He's our mayor. We live by his rules, his laws, first and foremost. It just so happened that the laws of the land tend to coincide at times with what God has already commanded. That's why we're obeying. I can get my Richard Nixon on. Let me be perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. We serve the Lord Christ, Colossians 3. For him we live. We live for him. And we live because of him. Hallelujah. Don't make this thing more difficult than it has to be. It's quite simple. It's a matter of, will we be willing to suffer, maybe at the loss of a job, friends, and other things, in serving the Lord Christ? That's where the complication comes in. But again, his commandment is not grievous. We serve the Lord Christ. We are citizens of heaven, from which, I'm from heaven, also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping as you get, as we mature more in the things of God, that that eagerly really becomes more eagerly. Like apostle, like the Apostle John, the Revelator, said in Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, hurry up and come. Verse 21, who's the who? The Lord Jesus from in the verse 20. Transform, here we go again, the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. So we're going to have a body, I'm taking that to mean, just like his glorified body, which he walked on this earth after he was resurrected from the dead. Now, I know you may notice, and sometimes we hear it and we forget it, and then you just don't put it all together. But when Jesus arose from the dead, remember his spirit left his body. Jesus told his heavenly Father on the cross, moment before his spirit left his body, what we call death, separation. He said, Father, to your hands I commend my spirit. That's why he said, nobody kills me. I let you get to this point, and then I take my own life. You don't do it. So when it was enough from the Father, we say it is finished, then he was released to leave his body and go to his Father. So the spirit, which is who we are, spirits, left the body. The body was put into the grave. Jesus' body was 100% human, just like us. I know you heard this before. He didn't have any special blood. He didn't have special bones. Not a special brain, cranium. None of that. All that, he was 100% regular human being. When he rejoined Jesus, the Son of God, that's the spirit portion, rejoined his body, that body went through the process that our body's going to go through. So we read too fast. It was transformed. It was glorified. So when he walked out of that grave, he had at that moment his glorified body. So when he walked the earth at that time, from the time that he rose from the dead until the time he was ascended in heaven, he was walking around in a glorified body. That's why he could just appear past walls, I think, in the midst while the disciples were arguing behind closed doors, where God even points out to the door being shut. They were arguing. And Jesus stood in the midst. Just said, Jesus stood in the midst. Bam! But yet, he was able to sit down on chairs with a physical body, eat physical food as he ate broiled fish and honeycomb. He was able to walk and talk as he did with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But he was able to shield their eyes so they would know him. Then he vanished out of their sight. So that body can contact both realms, if you will, lack of a better term. That's the glorified body. It's saying here that, verse 21, Jesus will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Our bodies will one day be glorified. And the glorification of our bodies will then complete the salvation/redemption process, because glorification is the last stage. We have nothing but blessings to just look forward to for the rest of us. I mean, just even these broke down, decaying bodies are going to be redeemed and reformed. It's just a great future for us. Wow. He leaves nothing unturned. And don't get in the silly question. Well, what is that going to look like? Am I going to, if people got overweight, are they going to be overweight? And if they skinny, are they going to stay skinny? I don't know. And who cares? See that's an earthly, you know what I'm saying? She said, yeah, that, who cares? When you're redeemed and you're in front of all that greatness and glory of God, you're like, hallelujah. You're like, ooh, he kind of flat. We going to be fat forever? But that's how we think now. Ain't nobody thinking about that then. We're glad to praise and worship God forevermore. Hallelujah. No more sin. No more devil. Now think about folks' body types and looks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! So one day, word of life, our bodies will be glorified, thus completing the salvation redemption process. Let's look at some more of that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, what is that referring to? Our body, which is our house. So when we use the analogy that our body is a house, that's where that comes from, the word of God. Which is our house is torn down. What does that mean? Dies. So in other words, the spirit separates from it. Body collapses. That's the tearing down. We have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the glorified body. Letting us know that the architect, and builder of this new house is God. And it is eternal in the heavens. Oh, man. Sometimes we just read too fast. Alpha Fellow Junior. Slow it down and just meditate. So when the word is getting all crazy, just let these things just rise up in your heart. Real big. Like, you know what? I may be limping and hurting and crying and in pain and all this, but you know what? All this is going to be over one day. It's not just a big pie in the sky, some sort of fantastic, you know, from the word fantasy type of thing. This is not comic book superhero, this is literal things here from the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. This earthly tent is going to be torn down. And we're going to have a new building designed by God. Not made with human hands. Eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house, what house is that? This body right now. We groan. We groan. Lord Jesus. Oh, Arthur done got me today. Oh, boy. You know, the old 49. Yeah, Arthur done got me today. You hear him talking about Arthur. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. You know, unfortunately, too many scriptures are long. This is telling us what we ought to be, how we ought to be thinking. But we're not thinking like that. We still trying to get a Rolls Royce and a Bentley. We still trying to get out to my pay our rent. We focusing on just basic things that just, oh boy. I can hear Jesus say, Martha, Martha, you are just overwhelmed with so much stuff that don't make no sense. Forget the biscuits and chicken and gravy. Sit down at my feet, because Martha running around trying to get the food done and this and the other. She's mad that Mary wasn't helping her. And Jesus told Martha, Martha, you're just overwhelmed in your mind with too much stuff. And that's something we need to look at ourselves. He said, Mary has chosen the needful part to sit
at the master's feet and learn from and of him. Let the main thing, y'all, be the main thing. And don't make minor, secondary, tertiary things be the main thing. Let Christ Jesus and his word be the main thing in living for him and glorifying him. That's the inverse thing. All the rest take care of itself.
We're not longing, Father, like we ought to be. Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We don't even thinking about heaven. We're still planted here on earth. But help us to long to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Verse 3, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. What's the it? It, the new house, the house that God built. Verse 1, house not made with hands. Verse 1, eternal in the heavens. Verse 2, verse 1, and the house that we long to be clothed with. Verse 2, having put it on, the earthly, eternal house will not be found naked. Our spirits won't be without a body, is what it's talking about. That's how important a body is. Because a body is used for expression and contacting and things of that nature. That's how God designed it. So naked would be a spirit without a body. But we're going to be clothed. To be clothed, then, is to have our spirit within a body. And this body, of course, is going to be the eternal building made in the heavens. Verse 4. For indeed, while we are in this tent, what is that? This body. We groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. In what? The new body. So that what is mortal, which is death, doomed, destined for death, will be swallowed up by life or eternal life. So this death-doomed body is going to be gone, and we will now be inside of an eternal body. In that case, he's poetic in it. Death will be swallowed up by life or eternal life. Go to verse 1 again, that this house not made with hands is what? Eternal in the heavens. Verse 5. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Let me break that down. First of all, I love that all of these great promises and wonderful things to look forward to, it's like he signed it. Hold on, these are not just some ramblings of some hyperbolic idiot. This is God that's going to make this happen. Yes. So verse 5, now he prepared us. Right? This is before the foundation of the world that this is going to happen. For this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Pledge means as a down payment or first installment, as a guarantee that this is going to happen. Now, I'm telling you all these great things the Holy Spirit is saying through us to Apostle Paul in verses 1 through 4. I'm telling you all these great things, and now to show you, the Lord is speaking to us, that I'm serious about this, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit as a down payment to show you that there's more to come. Thank you. It's like we would call it earnest money when you buy a house. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Or you leave I don't know what you leave on it. Back in the day, you could leave something on a car, like $100. It's like, I'll be back. You leave, you know, same thing, earnest money. They didn't call it that for a car. But it's that's what that is. The Holy Spirit is a down payment or earnest money that I'm serious about this, and that all of this is for sure going to happen to you. See, God is faithful. We hear that word a lot, but we don't fully understand it like we should. He's not playing games. When he says it, we've been learning on Wednesday, when God says it, we found that it has to happen. It's an effectual statement. It's going to effect that which he wants effected. Amen. Period. But he's telling us as his children, hey, you're going to get a redeemed body. It's going to be just like Jesus. And the proof that I'm serious about this, I'm going to let my Holy Spirit live in you. And that's going to be the first payment of it. And I'm going to finish the thing up, because I promised in my word that
And when I have begun a good work, I am faithful to complete this work. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. God can be trusted. I don't know, excuse my charismatic, but I don't know who's going through some things as many people are. Don't stop trusting God. God can be trusted. What he said in his word is true. Now, I feel that all in my soul right now, Ms. Paul. She just said that. I'm sorry. I feel that. That's a word. Receive it. God can be trusted. Don't doubt him. God is not a man. He should lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He got you in this situation, whatever it may be, and whoever this is for, God has you. He'll never leave you and never forsake you.
Thank you, Lord.
No matter how crazy and offsetting and off-putting and disturbing and suddenly, whatever it may be, if you're born again, stand on the promises of God. Promises like, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Promises like, you can boldly say, I'm your helper. So don't fear whatever's coming your way. Promises like, nothing is difficult for me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. I sent the Holy Spirit back, not only as a pledge and a guarantee and an earnest money, but also he's a comforter, he's a helper, he's a provider, he's a counselor, he's a teacher, he's a strengthener.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
He got you. Amen. Receive that word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So why are we to sacrifice our physical bodies? The first thing is because our bodies are included in the salvation / redemption process. Let's talk about another thing here. It won't be before you long. What's another reason that we are to sacrifice our bodies? Because reason number two is that, again, reason number one is because our bodies are included in the salvation process. Reason number two is because our bodies don't belong to us, and they are temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they don't belong to us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And that you are not your own. You've been bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body. I want to focus on verse 19, the two things. We are to present our bodies because the Holy Spirit lives inside of our bodies, our literal, physical, earthly, natural, mortal bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've heard that for years if you've been around any church. But do we focus on that? Do we meditate on that? Do we really believe that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us? I don't think we get it. I really don't think so. Because if we really had a greater grasp of that incredible truth, we would sin a lot less. Because it's not like the Holy Spirit leaves your body and then you go sin and he joins you after the sin is over.
Right.
He's in there with you when you go to sin. When you sin, He's there inside of you. You're sinning with the Holy Spirit inside of you. We're sinning when we do that. And therefore we grieve him and we quench him. Grieve means that we sadden, depress, you know, of course all the anthropomorphic terms, but we sadden, depress, upset, break the heart of the Holy Spirit. And then quench means to not do what he tells us to do. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't put out what he's trying to do, because he is a gentleman. And if you don't want him to help, I'm back on off. I'm telling you, don't go into that hotel room. That ain't your wife. Don't go in there. But you keep going, that's quenching. You're just snuffing out what he's trying to do to you and for you and through you. This Holy Spirit is living inside of you if you're born again, inside of me if I'm born again, inside of us as redeemed people. Living inside of us. A temple. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God. Look at all of that. He just, I love how he just ringing it, just giving all of it behind me. He doesn't have to say your body's temple of the Holy Spirit. But it's implied, if he's a temple, we would think he is inside. But I like how he leaves all doubt out of it. He says, temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you are not your own. You don't own you. As Americans, regardless of what color, because of how we've been trained to think here, that is blasphemous. How are you going to tell me? And of course, the root of the abortion movement is a woman has a right to her own body. No, you're not your own. Christians need to not get into that demonic way of thinking. He says you're not your own. The world says, yes, I am my own. I get to run my own. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my faith. That is not the case. We are slaves. We've been bought with a price. We don't belong to us. We belong to him. He's our Lord, meaning master. We are his slave. And notice body is at the root of it. That your body is a temple. Glorify God in your body. So why are we to present our body, our physical body? Because the Holy Ghost is the temple. Our bodies are the temple, rather, of the Holy Spirit. And once we realize, Lord, help us, it's a prayer, Father, help us to realize with deep understanding that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that our bodies don't belong to us. In Jesus' name. Now, once we realize that we don't belong to us and that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we need to be very careful. Very careful as to what we do with our bodies. Amen. Say that again. Once we realize, and we just prayed the prayer, he answers prayer. Once we realize, with a more deeper, more clearer understanding that the Holy Spirit resides in us, our bodies are his temple, and that our bodies aren't our own, meaning we don't have the right to do with our bodies what we want to do, then we need to be very careful as to what we do with our bodies. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are not our own. We need to really realize that. And again, that means that you don't have the right to do anything you want to do with your body. Come on. Get that marinade. We hear this, we've heard it, especially Word of Life, ad nauseum. But are we hearing? Are we He that hath ears to hear the prayer that Jesus prayed, I'm hearing with those ears. Our bodies are not our own. I don't keep repeating that. I want to keep repeating. We don't have a right to do whatever we want to do with our bodies, because they are not ours to do that with. You don't own you. Lord, help us to get this, please. Even we just have to end right there so that you can just let that be the last thing you hear. And I'm talking about from eating, looking, seeing, hearing, thinking, speaking, and of course, doing. When the Lord God raised you, and he raised me, when he raised us from the dead spiritually, we then became property and possession of God Almighty. And that's why we're to be led, influenced, dominated. How often, Sister Belinda?
Constantly, consistently, continually.
The three C's. Constantly, consistently, and continually. Moment by moment, by the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Since you don't own you, I own you. I tell you what to do with your body. I run you. Well, in order for us to hear what he's telling us, we got to be constantly, consistently, and continually led, because we never have the right from the moment we're born again, regenerated, to do whatever we want to do with our bodies. So we always need for him to tell us. Now don't get silly and say, do you to spend 10 minutes on picking out red socks over black socks? And you get late, you're late for work. Like I go red, black. Oh Lord, which socks are you? Don't get silly. But you know what I'm talking about. Help us to get that, Father. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're born again. Help us to get it. Please plant this, reveal this room. Let this be an apocalypse in the Greek, and a revealing concerning this verse. Two things in particular, Father, I pray. For a deeper understanding of the fact that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And second, that we are not our own. Our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to you. Because the very next verse says, Father, that we were bought with a price. So that lets us know that we don't no longer own us. You own us. And you have the right to tell us what to do with our bodies. And we lost that right when, and thank God, because all we're going to do is jack it up anyway. So help us to see that. You know better. Father knows best. Help us to see that and not take it, well, how dare you? Well, I don't remember all about that. Help us to get rid of that attitude and submit, because your commands are not grievous. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen.